Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Last week was hectic, to say the least, but I'm glad to get back in the saddle, so let's get started. Okay, look, the formal announcement of the biggest ever Lights On banquet is coming soon. I can't announce it yet because I'm working on something particularly special for this year's visit with the Brain Masseur, and it requires a little more tweaking. But it's going to be awesome, and you will be sorry if you miss it. The door prize will be better than ever. The meal, it's hard to improve on perfection, but there will be something a little extra added to the succulent tri-tip dinner this year. And of course, the live performance of the Brain Massage Show will have your lights on. The date, November the 3rd. Put a circle around that one and X it out for anything else. The price is $25 per plate, and believe me, that is a bargain for what you're going to have available to you. Patriots discount for the first 20 plates sold. You'll save $10 per plate if you register before July the 4th. Now that means if you register anytime before 11:59 and 59 seconds on July 4th, you'll pay only $15 per plate. Registration is not complete until payment's received. You can go online or register today at santamarialighthouse.org. That's santamarialighthouse.org. You'll see the word banquet on the top right end of the menu bar. It's above a little slideshow you see when you get into our website. Click on that. You'll see a form pops up. Fill in the form. And remember to click send at the end in order to register. And then you can see there some directions on how to make your payment. You can do it right there online. Friends, it is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
A lot has happened while I was gone for 1 week. Man, the news cycle rolls quickly. The Manchester Massacre, 23 killed, 116 injured, including children. 10 of these under 20 years old, one of them 8 years old. 12 of those who were hospitalized were under 16 years of age. It turns out the suicide bomber was a Muslim after all, and wow, what a shock. Never would have guessed that one. Didn't see that coming. Last time, in 1996, it was the Provisional Irish Republican Army on Corporation Street in the center of Manchester. Zero dead, 212 injured. Our hearts ache for our brother Brits. God, awaken in your heart that light that once shined so brightly from your shores. Our hearts are at half-mast with yours. Remember the words of America's favorite Brit. Winston said, quote, "If you're going through hell, keep going," end quote. And this, never give in. Never give in. Never. 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 In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense, end quote. California conservatives would do well to listen to that good advice. Our leaders in this state are determined to drag us into hell. Well, don't just sit down there. Keep moving. And never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. Most conservatives have given up on California, it seems to me. There are exceptions like Jim Patterson and James Gallagher and some others. But California Republican leader Chad Mays has betrayed the Republican platform, and I understand it was a strategic move, a balloon sent out to check the weather and the direction of the wind out there. Whether California Republicans are ready to embrace the homosexual agenda in order to widen the base of the California Republican Party. Chad represents a district that has a Democrat versus Republican split that slightly favors Democrats. From the Sacramento Bee, I have this chart they published showing the split between Republicans and right-leaning third-party voters as opposed to Democrat and third-party left-leaning voters. And the split in Chad's district comes down to a little over 26,000 on the right side and about 35,000 on the left side. Pragmatists are data-driven rather than principle-driven. Perhaps then the rationalization of the party leadership makes sense in that sense. But in the end, it's the same old nonsense. Like when the California GOP decided to forsake the party platform on abortion and run pro-abort Meg Whitman, when they had a perfectly, really awesome dynamic alternative. So here's the balloon Chad sent out there. The leader of the California GOP, your Republican leadership representative. He liked a tweet and it was sent out by California Assembly GOP. And I'm not going to read it in tweet talk. I'm going to just go ahead and interpret it. This Harvey Milk Day, we honor the legacy of a hero who paved the way for orgs or organizations like EQCA and Log Cabin GOP to seek tolerance and inclusiveness. And that's quote unquote. And then underlining that quote is a picture of Harvey Milk, and in quotes next to him, "Hope will never be silent." Well, very inspiring. This was liked by Chad Mays and Catherine Baker and retweeted by the Republican Party, and it's certainly raised some brouhaha. But this is certainly not the first time the California Republican leadership has betrayed the Republican Party platform. A homosexual advocacy group calling itself Equality California is an aggressive LGBT organization, one that's working hard to undermine our religious liberties. And the Log Cabin Republicans is another homosexual advocacy group identifying itself with the Republican Party. And these together oppose the party platform on the family. The party platform on family reads as follows. The California Republican Party affirms the family as the natural and indispensable institution for human development. A strong and healthy family unit is the heart of the home. A safe surrounding where family decisions are made, children are raised, and morality is taught. The family is the foundation on which American society has grown and prospered for over 200 years. And then this, we support the two-parent family as the best environment for raising children, and therefore believe that it is important to define marriage as a union between one man and one woman. The Supreme Court's ruling cannot and must not be used to coerce a church or religious institution into performing marriages that their faith does not recognize. We believe public policy and education should not be exploited to advocate or teach any social or political agenda, end quote. Harvey Milk is a documented sex offender. Yeah. He had what you call a domestic partnership relationship with a 16-year-old runaway from Maryland. His name was Jack McKinley. And Milk was at that time 30 years old. And that makes that relationship criminal. Statutory rape. I mean, whatever you think about so-called homosexual marriage, come on. A pederast, really? He's your hero? Sunday night, I'll answer questions regarding what the Bible actually says about homosexuality. What was really the sin of Sodom? Does the underlying Greek of the biblical text actually teach that same-sex marriage is an abomination to God or not? Does the Bible say that homosexuality is unnatural? Or is that just something conservatives have used the Bible to foist upon the ignorant? Is this sin more egregious than, say, adultery? And you're going to have an opportunity, by the way, to ask your questions of me on this matter. And that'll be Sunday night at 6 p.m. at the Lighthouse. But to wrap this segment, hey, conservatives everywhere, take a lesson from the Trump victory. Conservatives win when conservative ideas are articulated clearly and when conservatives stand firm on conservative principle. When conservatives go wishy-washy, they lose. The people are attracted to principled men who stand for something with conviction, even if they have personal doubts about the issue themselves or questions about it, over someone they agree with who's wishy-washy. Americans don't like spineless leadership, and that is especially true of conservatives. By all accounts, Hillary should have won, right? And frankly, we have God to thank for that. But Trump does present a confident and competent leadership air. And he connected firmly with his base. And he never, 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 never backs down. God honors truth and the conviction to stand for it. God does not honor those who are timid in their convictions for truth. Truth boldly proclaimed calls up courage and strikes fear in the soul of the liar. It confuses the compromisers and weakens their power over the minds of those who are questioning the arguments in debate. Truth has the greater mass and substance over the lie. And if put out there uncompromisingly, unflinchingly, it has the power of gravity on its side, pulling all else toward its center. Truth, above all else, always wins in the end. The lie might gain some temporary footing among us and gain a temporary stronghold among the people here and there and from time to time, but truth cannot be suppressed indefinitely. Truth might be cast into the street, but it cannot be erased or killed. Truth breathes. And all that is needed is for some courageous soul to inhale its life-giving spirit who will decide to be its champion, to sound it forth loud and clear, unashamed and unabashed. And then the lies must retreat. It is as simple as this. Submit yourself to God and the Spirit of Truth, and then the father of the lie will flee from before you when you resist him. If only pastors would once again become the champions of truth, and become more interested in truth than they are in their retirement programs or salaries, or popularity, or position of honor among the wicked, if only they will become more convinced of heaven's reward than they are enamored of hell's favors. If only they will cast off the honor cords of political correctness, and instead tighten the belt of truth upon their loins, kick off the Cali casual sandals of flippant irreverence, and don their gospel boots instead. Remove from their heart the cloak of lasciviousness and cover their heart with a breastplate of righteousness. Cast off the crowns of worldly acclaim and put on the war helmet of salvation. Drop their quivering, sniveling rationalizations of unbelief, thinking the only way to beat the devil is to serve him better than your adversary, and instead take up the shield of faith. And drop the rubber knives of lies and take up that sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, that inflicts the mortal wound upon the liars and exposes the thoughts and intents of every heart. And then stand, take a stand against this nonsense going on in the supposed conservative party. You know, when our own Republican leadership will drink the poison milk and offer the poison to you. Where CPAC will flaunt Milo and Miley. True, they reluctantly rescinded the invitation to Milo, another milkman, by the way, advocating pederasty, saying sex between 13-year-old boys and adult men is, quote, life-affirming, end quote. Really? That's what you've come to? But Dana Loesch, how do you pronounce her name? Anyway, a conservative talk show host in Dallas, a protege of Breitbart News, an invitee to CPAC. A Miley Cyrus wannabe. Photos of herself with her tongue super extended, her hand making the sign of the devil, okay. A 38-year-old acting like an idiot. So just how far are we going to broaden the GOP vase? You don't get it. This is exactly what the Democrats did that destroyed their party base and ended up alienating themselves from their base, allowing Reagan to move in and scoop them up into a landslide victory when he identified with the core American values. Do you think it's a good idea to follow that example? Give me a break. The conservative movement is under assault. May Buckley rest in peace. Listen, truth has greater mass than the masses. Truth has greater mass than the lie. One man of conviction has greater mass in his soul than a horde of spineless compromisers. Every time truth is asserted forcefully, consistently, clearly, without apology, it wins against the lie in the end. All right, my friends, hold on through the break. I'll be right back. Okay, my friends, the formal announcement of the biggest ever Lights on Banquet is coming soon. Meanwhile, the door prize will be better than ever. The meal, well, it's hard to improve on perfection, but there will be something a little extra special added to the succulent tri-tip dinner that Lou provides for us this year. And of course, the live performance of the Brain Massage Show will have your lights on. The date is November 3rd. That's November 3rd. The price is $25 per plate. Patriots discount for the first 20 plates sold. You can save $10 per plate if you register before July 4th. That means if you register any time before 11:59:59 p.m. on July 4th, you'll pay only $15 a plate instead of $25. Registration is not complete until payment is received. Go online, register today. Go to www.santamarialighthouse.org. You'll see the word banquet on the top right of the menu bar. Click. Complete the form that pops up. And remember to click send to complete your registration. Remember to click send so we receive your registration. And then you'll see in the right column a donate button. Click on that. Process your payment. You can do it with debit card, credit card, or through PayPal if you have an account with PayPal. Thank you to those of you who have already registered. This is going to be the biggest Lights On Banquet ever, and I want to see you there.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheibach, pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that will steal from us our liberties. On the national scene, Trump pulled us out of the Paris Climate Agreement. Hurrah! But sadly, he signed the 6-month extension delaying the move of the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem or Yerushalayim. The Paris Climate Agreement is very bad for America, he said. It's great for everybody else, but it's not a good agreement for America. The climate change theory is that carbon emissions from human activity is what's creating a greenhouse effect on our planet that's warming temperatures to dangerous levels. Speculation is that if this is not curbed, the planet is going to go into overheat and life on this planet as we know it will be destroyed. Well, is this true? The problem is that we don't have enough data to really know if what we're seeing in the way of shifts in climate is not part of a larger cycle. And add to that, when the people are telling us this is a problem, and they use deceit and oppression of dissent, it compromises our ability to trust them. They're asking major life changes from us, and they're lying to us to get us to surrender our personal and national sovereignty. And we've not forgotten the lies and the manipulation of facts. You know, the outright propaganda that's been used to promote this climate change scare. Scientists fudging numbers, those who question the conventional wisdom squashed. The politicization of this has made it impossible to know if we're getting the truth about it. And that tells you that there's something else going on here. Population control is part of that agenda. Make no mistake about that. We know that the people pushing this clearly have an agenda to destroy the American economy or to establish yet more regulations that ultimately siphon off America's wealth to other countries and that bring America under laws outside of our own to govern us. Trump got it right when he said essentially the deal is massive wealth redistribution scheme with America as the primary sap, the distributor. The bottom line is that while it's true, mankind has a responsibility to our Creator to steward our environment. God ordained that we should subdue it. But the loudest climate change alarmists among the environmentalists today have a very different agenda. They want to subordinate man to the environment and actually use environmental concerns to subordinate us to them. The Creator instructed us to subdue it to serve our needs, and good conservation policies are important and valuable. We need to avoid spoiling our water, denuding our forests, reasonable protection of habitat for the sustenance of our animals, and so on. All of that is noble and fine. The problem is the current environmentalism movement is premised on the supposition that man is the problem, that man must be brought under the control of, well, them. They use environmental concerns to enslave their neighbors to the will of godless individuals who actually, at the core of their being, believe mankind is something of a pestilence in the earth that needs to be eradicated. That's the extreme, but it's out there. American biologist and population control advocate Professor Pianca said, quote, "The earth as we know it will not survive without drastic measures," end quote. And the reporter present at this presentation says that then Mr. Pianca, without presenting any data to justify this number, asserted that the only feasible solution to saving the earth is to reduce the population to 10% of the present number. Or in other words, he wants to eliminate 90% of the population of the planet. Well, he then showed solutions for reducing the world's population in the form of a slide depicting the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They always go there, you know. But he said that war and famine would not do, he explained. Instead, disease offered the most efficient and fastest way to kill off the billions that must soon die if the population crisis is to be solved. Quote, Pianca then displayed a slide showing rows of human skulls, one of which had red lights flashing from its eye sockets. End quote. How droll. Well, it would be droll, I suppose, if it wasn't so deeply disturbing. He complained that, quote, AIDS is not an efficient killer, and that would be because it's too slow. His favorite candidate for eliminating 90% of the world's population is airborne Ebola. My friend, victims of Ebola die horrifying deaths. The virus liquefies the internal organs. Yeah. The reporter told us that, quote, after praising the Ebola virus for its efficiency at killing, Pianca paused, leaned over the lectern, looked at us carefully, said, quote, "We've got airborne 90% mortality in humans. Killing humans. Think about that," end quote. Now, what does that mean? And then there's the what's called the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement, VHEMT. And that's an environmental movement that calls for all people to abstain from reproduction in order to cause the gradual voluntary extinction of humankind. Yeah. This stuff's out there. Why does this group, VHEMD, support human extinction? Well, in the group's view, it would prevent environmental degradation, end quote. VHEMT was founded in 1991. The founder is an American environmentalist activist who has concluded that, quote, human extinction is the best solution to the problems facing the Earth's biosphere and humanity, end quote. Now, folks, this has been Satan's agenda from the beginning. And I will speak Sunday night to the question, Christians and the environment, a biblical understanding of man's stewardship responsibility for the planet. To conclude today's show, let's take a look at what some Christians are seeing as fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Trump has signed the six-month waiver on the congressional law that requires the United States to move its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So first, let me explain this for those who don't understand what this is about, and I mean with regard to the U.S. law. In 1995, both houses passed, and then-President Clinton signed a law requiring the U.S. to move its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, acknowledging a united Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. However, there is a provision in that law that allows the president, at his discretion, to delay implementation, or, say, the execution of that law for a six-month period at a time. And he can do this indefinitely. Clinton signed the waiver each time it came up throughout his presidency, as have all presidents since, including Bush and, of course, Obama. Trump campaigned aggressively on many hot-button issues. This was one of them. He declared repeatedly that he would move the American embassy to Jerusalem. More than once, he told the crowd to enthusiastic applause, essentially this, elect me and it's done. You know, U.S. embassy moves to Jerusalem. End of story. I'm president. It happens. Now, this is one promise that Trump could fulfill by, well, doing nothing. That's right. All he had to do is let the law be enforced. It's ironic on many levels, and I'm tempted to go there, but not today. Why has Trump delayed? I said delayed because that's what he's telling us that he's doing here. And he will be president when this waiver expires, and he will have another opportunity to keep this promise. And he's assuring us that he intends to keep it. But if he does intend to keep it in 6 months from now, what's different? What will be different then from now? Right? Why the delay? Did he have a conversation with the King of Saudi Arabia that we don't know about? Has something developed with regard to an interest to settle a peace in the Middle East that has motivated him to keep that card in his hand? We don't know. But let's look at this from a prophetic perspective rather than a political one for a moment. First of all, historically, from the Bible, this is not the first time Israel has shared Jerusalem with, well, the Canaanites. I mean, way back, the Jebusite tribe inhabited Jerusalem, called Jebus. And we're talking back in the days of Melchizedek and the days of Abraham, right? All the way through the time of the Exodus. And throughout the time of Joshua, by the way, every run they made at Jerusalem, they weren't able to overcome and take that city. And then the judges throughout the time of the judges. In fact, all the way through the reign of the first king, King Saul. And that's like a period of 900 years that they shared Jerusalem with their neighbors. And then King David finally conquers the city. And he's the one who officially made it the capital of Israel. And that's about 1,000 years before Christ was born. It remained the capital of Israel until after Judah was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar in about 603 BC and refused to submit to him, as God commanded that they should. So Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed the city, razed the temple to the ground, took its treasures into Babylon, and Jerusalem was destroyed. And after the prophesied captivity was done, the 70-year period, the people then returned to the land, and then finally under Ezra, and then finally Nehemiah comes along, and the Jews are able to resettle Jerusalem. But the Arabs, who were there at that time, you'll read about it, Nehemiah, fought against them and resisted their efforts then. Jerusalem was reestablished as the capital of Israel finally, and we move forward 400 years to the time of Jesus Christ, their Messiah, when Jerusalem was clearly their capital, and they had an opportunity then to have restored to them the Davidic kingdom. But they refused their Messiah. And so Jesus prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem would come and the destruction of their temple. And this happened in AD 70. And he said that the city would then be trampled down to the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And according to biblical prophecy, the times of the Gentiles have not played out yet. Jerusalem is going to continue to be shared with the nations. Then the word nations is translated Gentiles in our Bible until Jesus returns. Now, Jews may control it and all of that, and should, so far as I'm concerned, to be sure. And indeed, I accept the idea that Jerusalem is the eternal capital city of Israel. Amen, brother. But according to Jesus, and I think he knows what he's talking about, according to Jesus, Jerusalem is going to be an international city. It's going to be shared by the Gentiles, and that means nations. Another prophecy, however, from Isaiah 2 and Micah 4, which are not millennial prophecies, by the way. First, folks, the millennium is not a 1,000-year reign of Christ. When Christ returns, his reign will be eternal. It'll never end. The millennium is marked by Satan being bound in the bottomless pit for a period of 1,000 years. It ends when Satan is released at the end of that 1,000-year period. And then the other thing to consider is Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 are not prophecies about the reign of Christ on the earth. Read them carefully. If you'll read those passages carefully, you will notice that the description of that period given in those passages that sounds like the time of Christ's or Messiah's reign on earth is what the people shall go and say. And if you read the passages carefully in their context, you're going to see, for example, that in Micah 4, 5, every man will worship his own God and we will worship the Lord our God. Micah 4, 5. Now, that is not a description of the millennial reign, so-called. It's something that could happen in our current political climate, however, isn't it? It is the trajectory of governments today, ever since America kind of got that thing rolling, freedom of religion and all that. Anyway, these prophecies in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 describe a time when many will think they're living in the time of Messiah's reign, but they will be deceived. It's going to be all peace, peace, when really there is no peace, as Scripture says. Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 certainly do describe a time, however, that will be fulfilled during the last days, during our time here, when hostilities between Jerusalem and her surrounding neighbors will abate. And this truce will endure sufficiently to allow Babylon to be rebuilt and to become the economic center of world commerce, and for Jerusalem to prosper wildly and to become a truly international city with idolatry rife throughout, receiving her nourishment from Babylon, according to prophecy. And listen, I'm going to be starting a thorough study of prophecy with a study of Daniel that'll be followed by a study of Revelation. And in the course of these studies, we will touch on every prophetic passage in the entire Bible. All right? I'm going to announce the beginning date for that study real soon, as soon as I'm far enough in my preparations to give a definitive date. But the city, Jerusalem, will continue to be the center of controversy among the nations. And in the very end, Jerusalem will be at the epicenter of the conflict that will throw the world into confusion and war, and the end will come. Read Zechariah's prophecy in chapter 12. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall see the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And you who know some Bible recognize that part about they shall look upon me whom they pierced from Revelation, where the revelator said, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Revelation 1:7. Now, Trump's move makes sense prophetically, even if it does not make sense to us politically. Why Israel should give in and return to the pre-Six Days War boundaries, well, that's unheard of in the annals of war. You know what we did in the Mexican-American War? We gave Mexico back to, but anyway, no one else, at least not without another war to settle the boundaries. But from a biblical prophetic perspective, it makes sense that some sort of a deal would be worked out where Israel will end up sharing Jerusalem, perhaps a somewhat of a reset to pre-1967 boundaries, I don't know, or a compromise there too, and that will gain from the Arab nations a concession to Israel recognizing her right to exist among them, and then this settling into a period of quiet that will allow the Middle East to prosper beyond anything imaginable right now. Look for it. Go to our website, brainmassage.net. Just simply brainmassage.net. You'll see there a place to write me an email and to communicate with me. You'll also see a place there, and this is very important, you'll see a place there where you can make a donation to help us keep this show on the air. So God bless you, my friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Encounter God. The word means to meet, to experience, to confront. How would you like to encounter God? Maybe it's been a while since you've experienced God in a meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year. Or maybe you've never experienced God and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God and know that God is real. Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedarabia Road, Santa Maria. Go to santamarialighthouse.org.
Has your faith made the difference you're looking for? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, a lighthouse for the family.
Go to santamarialighthouse.org. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon